Three very rough fellows on motorcycles pulled into a roadside diner. And when they got inside, they found one waitress, a cook, and a little guy sitting at the counter eating his lunch quietly. The motorcyclists were angry because a truck had cut them off back up the road. And so they were looking for trouble, and they decided that they were going to pick on the little guy who was at the counter, who was also a truck driver. They went over and grabbed his food, and they slung it all over the place. They called him every name you could think of. They just kept on harassing him. They were trying to take out their revenge on him. After a little while, he got up, he paid his bill, and he walked out the door. The three motorcyclists, they wanted a fist fight, and they didn't get it. So they looked over to the waitress and said, "He wasn't much of a man, was he?" And the waitress said, "No, he wasn't." And then she looked out the window and said, "He wasn't much of a truck driver either, because he just ran over three motorcycles sitting out in front of the restaurant." Well, don't we love stories of little guys or underdogs when they're able to prevail over something much larger than they are? In the case of the truck driver, he really had the last word. And deep inside, we really want to cheer. In our scripture today, David, who was just a youth, ruddy, probably red-haired, and very, very handsome, he fights and wins a battle with a super angry, name-calling, God-defying, armored-up Philistine giant named Goliath. It's one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament, and it really gives us a look into the early life of David, one of the most popular heroes in the Old Testament. It's the sermon series we're dealing with for the whole month of June, and we're going to follow David's life all the way through. Reverend Caitlin has written a wonderful resource for this series. You can pick it up out in the Welcome Center, or you can download it from our website, and you can follow along as we go through the whole story of David. So there's also a new short-term Sunday school class that I mentioned that starts next week called Facing Your Giants. If you've never had the opportunity to get in a small group, this may be just the class for you. It's short term, and you will enjoy it. Not only that, our children, when they were just tiny toddlers, heard the story of David and Goliath, and if you went up to one of them today, they could recite the whole story for you and tell you every single thing that happened. Despite his sins and his many, many shortcomings, David loved God, and God used him powerfully during that time in history. And his name is mentioned not only in the Old Testament, but throughout the New Testament too. And even Jesus talks about David. Many of the Psalms that we read and love are attributed to him. For example, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then another one that's one of my favorites, Psalm 139, "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Well, you know, giants come in all shapes and sizes. They don't have to be a 9-foot, 9-inch giant like Goliath to make you quake in your boots. Giants aren't something you dream up. They are actually real, and they come to us many times in our lives. I talked to somebody this morning, and I said, "Do you have any giants in your life?" And she said, "Oh, the list is very, very long. They cause problems. They cause pressure. They cause pain, and they will persecute you. And there comes a time that we have to face them in our lives. A giant can be your company or your boss, even an affair you may be caught in. It could be a child, a neighbor, a relative, a teenager. It can be a financial situation that you're in. It can be a disease that you have been diagnosed with, like Alzheimer's, or perhaps Parkinson's, or even cancer. It could be marriage problems. It could be anxiety, depression. The list just keeps going on and on and on. The giant may be a person in your own life who is facing something, and you have been called into helping that person face that giant. Now, it shouldn't be surprising to you that your pastors also face giants. You've probably read all kinds of articles about pastors and people who work in the church falling flat on their face because they were not able to fight the giant in their life. If you had the opportunity to come to my house and open up all the journals that I write in daily, weekly, you would find two words over and over and over, and they are busy and busyness. And that's one of the giants that I have fought for a great portion of my life. Some of it, I think, is my personality. Another part is I watched my busy parents work, 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 work a lot of their life. The other part of it is, hey, it's my job. It's the needs of the church, and I don't like things to fall apart. So I will work extra hard and stay busy. But I know it's a giant that is after me. And when I go part-time here at First Methodist, I'm thinking, I am ready to face this giant head-on. I want to get rid of him. I don't want to be busy, busy, busy all the time. This morning, we're going to look at those 12 verses that I read earlier and see if we can pull anything out of them that will help us when we decide that we're finally going to face the giants in our life. So, here's what I need you to do. I'm going to ask you right now to pull up in the forefront of your mind a giant that you are facing right now. You may want to write it down, that giant, on your bulletin, and perhaps you want to take notes. But I need you to get that giant right up there in the forefront of your mind. You know, one of the ways God speaks to us is through the scriptures. And if we pay close attention today, we can leave here with a plan of attack ready to make this giant fall. The time really does come when you have to decide enough is enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. Even if the prognosis is not what you wanted, the outcome is not what you expected, and even if the decisions made by others don't make sense and seem scary, we have to be confident, like David, that we can trust the God who will not let us down. And if you'll notice, central to everything in this story is David's trust in the Lord to get him through. As the story opens, David has already decided to fight the pride of the Philistine army, Goliath of Gath, who was a warrior since his youth. He was big and tall, and he scared the socks off of everybody. The whole Israel army was just quaking in their boots. He was impressive looking. The Bible tells us he was very tall. He had on a bronze helmet. He carried a gigantic sword and a javelin, and he had armor on throughout his whole body. The only place that was open was a little place right up here in his helmet. The first thing we see is David is absolutely confident when he decides he's going to go out there and face the giant. You can just imagine little David, giant Goliath, and David is confident that he's going to go out there and fight him. It was not uncommon in the Middle East for armies to get together on either side of a valley and for one of them to come out and yell taunts at the other. And what was really supposed to happen is two people, excuse me, would fight, and whoever won that would determine the whole war. That was extremely common. So that's what Goliath was doing. Come on, send me somebody to fight. I want to fight. And if the wrong person went, then the Philistine army would have won. But David was confident, and that's the first thing you need to get in your mind when you're facing your giant, that you're going to be confident and you're going to win the battle. So King Saul agrees to let this little shepherd boy fight Goliath. And I'm sure in his mind, never in a million years did he think that David would ever survive such an attack. To help him out, he gave him his own sword, he gave him his armor, and he put it on him. Now, King Saul was very tall. He was an impressive man. David was not. So can you visualize David trying to walk with all of this heavy armor on? He said, "I can't do this. I cannot walk with this armor on. I'm not even used to them," he said. He must have looked like a toddler wearing his dad's t-shirt. And even if they had fit, David had never worn armor before. He was just a simple shepherd boy. So he took them off. He cast away anything that was going to get in his way. I want you to pay attention to what I just said. He got rid of anything that was in his way so he could go ahead and fight the giant. He was confident. He had killed a bear and a lion before using his slingshot and using his bare hands. So he was very self-assured that he might be able to kill Goliath. So there's Goliath. He had yelled out nasty words, scaring everybody for 40 days. Everything you hear in the Bible is 40 days. That means a long time. So Goliath was yelling for a long time, "Send somebody to fight me because I'm going to win." Well, I have a friend named Susie Hoare. She's actually my coworker. I have worked with her for 20 years. And she had an unexpected giant that started taunting her several years ago. It wasn't really a big, tall giant. It was a small, ruthless one. A routine checkup found a lump that was cancerous. Not only was it cancerous, it was one of the fastest growing kinds of all. The only way to get rid of it would be surgery, and so Susie decided on a double mastectomy. When she first found out that this giant was after her, she cried. She was frightened, and I can remember many phone calls with her and listening to the quake in her voice. Not only that, they told her, "You are not going to need chemo," but when they tested the cancer, they came back and said, "You must have this chemo." So that launched her into another period of fear and what's going to happen. But did you know within 2 weeks, her whole demeanor changed? She became a very, very different person. Like David, she decided that she was going to love and trust the Lord, and she was going to follow him, have him right at her side, and they were going to do battle together. She didn't want this uninvited guest in her life, and so she chose her weapons very carefully. She opened up her Bible. She found scripture that was positive and hopeful and joyful. And she picked out the ones that would help her, and she recited them every single day. Not only did she lean on her love of God, but her parents, Mary and Leon, had raised her right here in this church. She was a little girl, and she was sitting right here. She had a firm foundation under her, and she leaned on that. And she would tell you today, if you're fighting a giant, make sure you're building a firm foundation with the Lord. Well, she not only did that, she invited her family and her friends to join her in the battle. She wasn't going to do it alone. She needed to be surrounded by a group of positive people. She grew more and more confident every day, and even when her hair came out and she had on her baseball cap, she would take it off and she would say, "It's all going to come back." And she would laugh and be joyful. This wonderful, wonderful opportunity for her to share her faith at MD Anderson, it just came pouring out. She was able to meet wonderful nurses and gifted physicians, and she was able to help people that also had cancer. Maybe they weren't as far as along as her, but she was able to help them. Well, she changed. She decided, "I am going to fight. I am not going to let this giant enter my life without doing battle." Now, hear this. Even if that battle took her to heaven, she knew she was still going to be a winner. And that's the hope we have in Jesus and his promises. But Susie's only one of many people who have stood up here to face their giants. Some come facing the giants of financial debt, and they're so stressed and they don't know what to do. But they sign up for financial peace, and in no time, they are able to begin to live a new life, making sure that they will be debt-free. Sometimes a crisis comes in your life, and there are people here that say, "I'm going to do battle with that crisis. I'm going to find a Stephen minister. I'm going to find a counselor. I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to fight this giant." Right away, I have already told you things that you can take with you as you begin to fight your own giant. You need to be confident. You need to know who is walking right alongside of you. I heard somebody say the other day, if we had any idea who we are dealing with every day with the Lord, we would fall flat on our faces and not even be able to get up. You have got to cast everything aside that is getting in your way. You may need to reschedule something. You may need to change your life. And you may need to realize whatever happens may not be what you expected. But you can trust the Lord because He has a plan for your life and He will make sure that it happens. I had a person last week that was really, really upset with a giant that has been in her life for 6 years. She said, "I think it's too late for me to even fight." And everybody around her said, "It is not too late. Get up and fight. You need to make sure that giant is running down the road with its tail tucked." And my friends reminded her of the loving God that would be with her all the way. And then finally, David, when he hit Goliath, Goliath fell flat. He looked like he was dead. But to make sure, David took Goliath's sword and cut off his head and held it up for everybody to see. You have got to make sure that your giant is dead and is not going to rise up and come back and get you again. You can't say, "Oh, I'm doing so much better with my money, I'll just kind of let go of things." No, that giant will come back. "I'm feeling better. Maybe I don't need to do this. I won't exercise. I'm doing so much better." No, it will come back at you. You need to make sure that your giant is absolutely dead. And you hold it up and you say, "It is gone forever." Well, we went to Haiti, to Turks and Caicos, and we worked with the Haitians there. It was a wonderful, wonderful trip. Their giant is called poverty. They fight and fight and fight, and the government does not want the Haitians on the Turks and Caicos Islands, period. But as we moved on and we moved on, and we would say, "How many years do you have before you're able to work here?" "Oh, I have 8 more years to go," or "I have 6 more years to go." "Well, how do you do this?" And they would say, "Jesus." That's how we do it. We have absolute trust in Jesus. And they are going to keep fighting until they're able to work, and they're going to be filled up with the love of Jesus. I want you to go out of here today. I want you to take that giant and look him square in the eyes and say, "I am going to fight you. Enough is enough. And I'm going to use the things that David did in these scriptures to help me knock you down." My friends, don't be afraid. Know that the Lord God is walking beside you. You can trust Him. He will pull you through. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so, so, so much that you walk with us no matter what comes up. Sometimes, Lord, we absolutely quake in our boots. We're so afraid of what we have to face. But when we get you by our side and our friends and our family, our Sunday school classes, we are ready to do battle. I just pray for every single person in this room that you would pour blessings on them, that you would help them as they begin to battle the giants in their life. We love you, Lord. And we offer this prayer, this message, everything up to you this morning. It's in your precious and powerful and holy name. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing?